Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're trying to get hold of a conservative Christian best-selling author who for some years hosted a talk radio program in Boston on WRKO. So we'll bring him on the show if we succeed in that. But of course, we want to continue the discussion from yesterday regarding the Boston Marathon bombing. The comments from ABC News, CBS, Chris Matthews, none of that is surprising. Without any evidence, they suggest this could be right-wingers, right-wing, conservative, right-wing type extremist. I think it was on ABC, I think I heard the statement, don't rush to judgment that this might be a Muslim terrorist. And just saying that is sort of like a backhanded admission of the elephant in the room that people think, well, this might be a Muslim terrorist. Of course, it might be. The New York Post is to be congratulated. While everyone was repeating what the governor of Massachusetts said and the, what was it, the chief of police yesterday in their live press conference, they were stressing that there was no Saudi national in custody. They absolutely said that that was a false report, but it turns out it was true, and it is true, that there is a person of interest, and they call him a person of interest, and I don't know that he's really good at trivia or he's fun at parties. I don't know what makes him a person of interest other than the fact that they did search his home, his apartment, and his roommate has commented, and CNN has repeated the comment that he's a good guy and incapable of this kind of a thing. So we'll take that into account. Now, on this show, occasionally we talk about the mental illness of those who claim that 9/11 was an inside job, that the government attacked itself. And of course, one of the proponents of that, Alex Jones, who is mentally ill, I mean, he's certifiably paranoid mentally ill. He's out there with his crack analysis of the events of the last 24 hours, and he's determined that this appears to be a false flag operation. And so by that, he's suggesting that the U.S. government bombed its own people again, of course, and a false flag operation. Now, you know, he likes to use these military terms. So he means that a false flag operation, like an agent provocateur, or more particularly, you do an operation under the enemy's flag so that you cast guilt where it doesn't belong. Your country's doing it, but you pretend another country's doing it. So if this were a false flag operation, that means the group that claimed responsibility is not the one that did it. And Alex Jones has figured all that out, and he's apparently figuring out who really did it. And so first, you have to discount the group that took responsibility. So which group is that, Alex? This is a false flag operation. So what was the flag? And so anyway, it's just taking the fog of war, the typical kind of reporting during a crisis, an atrocity, a battle, where all kinds of reports come out that are somewhat contradictory. And then you jump on some of them because of your paranoia, and then you've built yet another chapter for your latest book or DVD on your conspiracy theories, and it's an inside job, and the government is the primary suspect. And so paranoia is, I mean, it's a symptom of mental illness. And so those conservatives, Christians who go to Alex Jones for their news, they should think about this. If you go to someone who is certifiably paranoid for your news and analysis, and you do that over a period of time, and you get some significant portion of your information from someone who is paranoid, will you eventually become paranoid? Will you eventually lose your own objectivity? And will you eventually begin to exhibit similar signs of mental illness? Will you? And of course you will. So the latest on the Saudi Arabian man whose apartment was searched by the Boston Marathon bombing investigators, it said that he is not a person of interest now in the continuing search for the persons responsible for yesterday's terrorist attack. He has been checked out. He is not involved. He's just a victim. So, of course, that's possible, right? That is possible. Not everyone named Muhammad is a terrorist. I mean, that's clear. Well, Muhammad is his roommate. And, you know, years ago we talked about the name Muhammad and just the weirdest coincidences with terrorists and their names. I mean, just really bizarre. And we noticed that, you know, terrorists like Hamas and Hanbali and Mohammed, remember Mohammed Atta? And so many terrorists have this, you know, this biblical, the Bible helps us to understand our roots and where we've come from and where we're going. And there's just so many terrorists who have this thing with this H-A-M in their names. It's weird. You know, the Bible speaks of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it's interesting. So we will talk about that in a little bit later in this program. We'll get to that. But so we have, all right, my producer has reached the former WRKO radio talk show host, who we're honored to be able to bring onto this program in just one moment. But this is weird. When you look at the many terrorist groups that have Ham in their names, you know, H-A-M, like Hamas, and you have Muhammad Atta, of course, and remember Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and remember the Russian terrorists, Islamic terrorists, and others who killed the 330 children in Beslan. That's the Shamil Basayev leader there. And you go around the country and around the world. John Alvin Muhammad. There's in Southeast Asia, Hanbali. And it just goes on and on and on. I have here a dozen terrorist groups, terrorist leaders, and they have this Hamas thing, this Muhammad. And my sense is there's a historic, cultural, religious thing going back to anything anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, and it's going back to Ham. And Ham was the father of Canaan, and Canaan of the Canaanites. And Yasser Arafat said they were reenacting Canaanite, you know, pagan rituals back when my wife Cheryl and I were in Israel. So just a real weird phenomenon. And I've got a lot. I mean, the Army of Muhammad and just too many of them to mention on the air. But in studio now, former WRKO radio talk show host, Greg Jackson. Greg, welcome back to Bubba Near Live.
Oh, it's always an honor and a pleasure, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Greg, yesterday, Doug McBurney said he had just been just a few doors down from the Copley Hotel. I had stayed in that hotel years ago when I was writing for PC Week, headquartered out of Boston. You used to live there. You were on the air on the blowtorch of Boston, WRKO, the 50,000-watt clear channel station. Where did you live, and what did you do on the air there?
Well, when I first moved to Boston in about 2003, I went to work for J&J, medical device sales, which is what I do. Mm-hmm. And my temporary housing was actually only about a block away on Beacon Street, which is a block away right near the Crate and Barrel, which is the finish line of the Boston Marathon. So.
Wow.
I recognized all of those places. We used to walk down there, my wife and I, before we bought a house in Newton, mm-hmm. which is the next town over. We were there for probably about 6 months, so I spent a lot of time there.
And when I was there at the headquarters, I would go to Harvard occasionally, go onto the campus. That's real nearby.
Absolutely. And it's all right there.
So these are iconic locations, and it's not surprising that a terrorist would want to talk, want to attack, want to target the birthplace of liberty, right? What is it called?
The Cradle of Liberty is what Boston was first referred to, and it is. I mean, this is where John Adams wrote the Constitution of Massachusetts, which predated the Constitution, and which was really the model of all of the state constitutions, and, of course, the federal constitution, and the constitution that Mitt Romney, when he was governor, tore to shreds. And that's what I covered when I was on the radio on WRKO.
And let's talk about that a little bit. But when I've gone to Boston, there's the walking tour downtown. You go to all these amazing historical sites. And it's just a neat place to go, even though our country has become so godless and so brutal in its destruction, the killing of innocent children, for example, 3,000 a day in surgical abortions, then all the chemical abortions. But, you know, I was thinking about your emails with Jim Daly, the president of Focus on the Family, because it was somewhat ironic that the last couple of weeks you were emailing back and forth with Jim Daly.
And an audience of about 400 other Christian
leaders.
Politicos and media people and Christian leaders, yes.
Yeah, leaders. And you have a way of doing that, Greg.
You've
been doing that for years.
That one I didn't initiate.
But you have been doing that for years. And, having been a talk show host at WRKO and then in Los Angeles, and you've written one best-selling conservative book, Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies. You hosted the presidential events at CPAC 2 years running.
2007, 2008.
So you were in the middle of the conservative movement in America. You said you didn't initiate this latest email go-round. How so? Tell me.
Well, that email I was copied on, and that originated from Steve Baer, who's a big Republican donor, who essentially has been taking part in this, or spearheading this effort to gut all funding for abortion from the federal spending bills.
For Planned Parenthood.
For Planned Parenthood.
He's fighting for that.
Right, and in Obamacare. And in, military abortions and anywhere else where taxpayer dollars would go to fund abortions.
And so that's how that email exchange began.
He was trying to get other Christian leaders, and specifically in this instance, Jim Daly, the head of Focus on the Family, the largest pro-family Christian organization in the country, to join him in that effort.
And so you ended up interacting with Jim Daly. It was fascinating. I got an email from Jim Daly. He responded to you.
Yes.
And I got it in my inbox. I normally don't respond, but I did on that occasion.
Well, the thing that got him specifically involved, Bob, was that there was an article a couple of weeks ago that came out that said that Planned Parenthood was now, and you've spoken about this on your show, advocating that it's okay to kill babies that are born after they've been born.
It's like the Gosnell trial in Philadelphia.
Well, Planned Parenthood's okay with it.
It's like at Christ Hospital
in
Chicagoland.
Okay,
if the baby survives the abortionist hasn't really done his job.
Right.
Because it's not really that the woman is no longer pregnant. It's that you got to kill that kid.
And so the big kind of takeaway from that whole thing was that I sent an email saying this is the group Planned Parenthood that Jim Daly wants to partner with to quote unquote reduce the number of abortions.
Well, I may be saying partner is too much, but
he wanted
said
to discuss to enter into discussions with
sit
them,
down
sit at the
and
table
talk and, with them.
Right.
And so, Greg, what I thought about with this bombing, the Boston Marathon bombing, is the years you were on the air there. And Mitt Romney was the governor. And Romney, if you recall, you just said he shredded the Constitution.
Yes.
Mitt Romney is the father of homosexual marriage. He's the father of...
The founding father, yes.
Yeah. He's the father of the $50 copay abortion. He forced Catholic charities to, if they want to stay in business, you have to adopt out kids to homosexuals.
Which, by the way, even Mike Dukakis, the former governor, admitted was not that he never had to do that.
Well, of course, even his own attorneys on his own staff,
Peter Flaherty and others, correct.
He forced pro-life hospitals. He told them you Catholic must
hospitals.
Give out the morning after pill.
RU486.
Well, that's a different pill.
Right,
that's
morning after pill, but also
pregnancy.
Right.
Yeah, the morning after pill, Plan B. He said you must, you know, give Plan B. You must distribute it.
Again, something he wasn't legally obligated
right,
to do, as even
right.
Mike Dukakis admitted.
And so then when Focus on the Family, with their whatever clout they have, when Tom Minnery, the head of their VP of Public Policy, says we are so much like Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is the kind of a guy that we could support. And they work to promote Mitt Romney's candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitt Romney is the enemy. He's not the enemy like in sheep's clothing. That's only for a blind person.
Right.
He'd be the enemy in sheep's clothing. He's overtly the enemy. You don't listen to his campaign slogans, which he repeats only to the pro-life Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You look at his actions. He is the father of homosexual marriage. Maybe we could talk for a moment about what he did to implement homosexual marriage, because he is the founding father of that. And here's yep. Focus on the Family. They're going to use the $1 billion Christians have given to them over the, you know, the last decade and all the goodwill that comes with that to promote one of the most vile leaders that...
One of the most anti-family.
Anti-family. Yeah. Anti-child.
Anti-life. Just, everything that they're supposed to stand for.
Yeah, and we're arguably worse than Obama.
Absolutely. Well, the wolf in sheep's clothing is always more dangerous to the flock than the wolf in wolf's
always
clothing.
Always more dangerous. And
people aren't guard when they
right.
have a Republican in the White House
right.
or
and,
a governor in
right.
office.
And Mitt Romney is the architect of Obamacare. The
yes.
the guys that work with Romney to build Romney Care went to the White House repeatedly to help them craft Obamacare, and the similarities are shocking. And Romney's only real
Romney Care went further.
Well, because
subsidized
it openly,
abortions, openly including
from day one,
including partial birth abortions.
$50
was the most radically pro-abortion.
Yeah.
Law ever signed in the history of the United States, and it was Mitt Romney who did it.
Yeah, that's right. And he line item vetoed Romney Care 8 times. You know, he removed dental care.
Right.
He didn't do anything to make sure it wouldn't cover abortion. It covered abortion from the get-go. The Health Connector Committee that would decide what would be covered was mostly in the executive branch.
Correct. It was under his purview.
Most of it, including, I think we also have to count one of his chairs, the Planned Parenthood chair, the permanent seat
mm-hmm.
for Planned Parenthood on the state health board that he signed into law.
With no pro-life appointee.
No, so he can't say, well, you can't hold me responsible for that vote on the committee. Of course, they would vote to fund abortion. You can't. It's not my fault. I just gave Planned Parenthood that seat in perpetuity. When Tom Minnery, when Focus on the Family says we are so much like Mitt Romney, it's a horrifying thing to hear and to consider. And we plead with them, don't be like Mitt Romney, please.
To try to encourage
don't.
Them to do the right thing.
Yeah, you know, it's either gross negligence. Is it possible they do not know how aggressively wicked Mitt Romney is?
Well, you saw the emails, Bob, and we basically, Doug McBurney and I, both pointedly asked Jim Daly if he would extend the same opportunity to sit down with Keith Mason, who's the president of Personhood USA, to support state-level and federal personhood legislation that he has opened up to Planned Parenthood. He said he'd sit down with them. So the question was just directly asked to him, well, will you meet with
Personhood.
With
if
Keith,
you'll meet with Planned
he only
Parenthood,
lives 60 minutes down the street.
Would you meet with Personhood?
Right. And there was deafening silence, crickets, for the past couple of weeks now. He
yeah.
has not answered that question.
Yeah.
And so my last email to him was, the only thing that I'm left to conclude is that you don't support personhood, that you believe that there should be exceptions, that it's okay to kill children without heartbeats, children that have been conceived from rape and incest.
I don't know that I...
Or ones that can't feel pain, that you are okay with that.
You know,
what else am I left to conclude?
Yeah, now, I don't want to call it the devil's advocate, but let me... I don't know that I can conclude that to go that far, but what I recognize is that Focus on the Family has been dug in and refusing to give its blessing to the effort to protect every child. They've been, you know, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Yes.
That's Dr. Dobson said, we failed in every battle.
Our nation is awash in evil, he said.
Yes, and we fail. We, meaning Focus on the Family and the pro-life industry, it's called at American Right to Life, the pro-life industry, they failed in every battle. And what they did succeed in with the partial birth abortion ban, Dobson admitted in writing that ending partial birth abortion did not save a single human life. Not one.
Right.
Because they could just kill these babies, any of many.
Well, we just saw it with the Gosnell thing.
Well, so many ways they could kill the same babies.
Just change of technique.
Yeah. So there's a moral crisis in the leadership of the body of Christ. In fact, that's what your book is about, your latest book.
We Won't Get Fooled Again.
With Steve Dace.
Correct. I mean, that's the bigger picture as it pertains to Jim Daly and Focus on the Family and other organizations like that. But the bigger picture is in regard to what just happened in Boston, too. We can talk a little bit about that, the Boston Marathon, which is that we do have economic problems in our country, but the root of all of those problems is the fact that we have a code blue moral and spiritual crisis in this country. So should we really be surprised?
Well, of course we shouldn't be surprised, right? Because when you mock God, when you kill the innocent, when you promote perversion, then you certainly lose God's blessing and you become weak. You become corrupt and weak. And so rather than the government focusing on what God would have it do, which is to keep the country safe, for one.
To reward the righteous and punish the wicked.
The government is a socialist government. It's doing 10,000 different things, and human beings are not competent enough to oversee something that does 10,000 different kinds of things, and they do. So they're funding abortion, they're taking care of...
And they don't even read the legislation, Obamacare. Pelosi admitted they didn't. They got to pass it to read it.
Right. Sure.
Right?
Exactly. So the government has made a mockery of justice. You know, God says, do not murder. We have euthanasia, and we have abortion, and even infanticide. And God said, do not commit adultery. And we have not only adultery, fornication, homosexuality, pornography, all of it decriminalized, bragged about. And God said, do not steal. And we have socialism and a lot of conservatives who want the government to take care of them financially and to take care of their kids. And that's called stealing. Just because you make the government the middleman doesn't mean it's not stealing. That's why socialism is wrong. Not because it doesn't work as well as freedom, but because it's
immoral.
Stealing.
It's immoral.
And so we have a government that has fundamentally violated the foundation of civil government that God has put in the Ten Commandments.
And now we're reaping the whirlwind.
Yes.
We're reaping what we have sown.
Right.
And people say, oh, you're Mr. Doom and Gloom. Well, the fact of the matter is, take a look at Massachusetts. Now, I'm not saying that what happened was necessarily God's judgment. But look, the fact of the matter is that the cradle of liberty, and I said this on the air on WRKO, the cradle of liberty, Massachusetts, devolved into the test tube of totalitarianism when it opened the doors for sodomy-based marriage, homosexual adoptions, all sorts of perversion in the schools, taxpayer-funded abortions. And so people are up in arms that there's more death and bloodshed and destruction in Massachusetts, when in Massachusetts they were the ones primarily under Mitt Romney on Beacon Hill who opened the door for all of this. So, you know, why should we be surprised? You know, I saw flags at half-mast today, Bob, and I thought to myself, Well, they should be at half mass for all those families, and our thoughts and prayers go out to all of those innocent people.
Yeah, we grieve with
them. We grieve with them. It's tragic, of course. But why isn't the flag at half mass the other 364 days of the year? 3,000 plus babies a day are intentionally murdered with the consent and full funding of our government. They turn a blind eye to it.
Right.
We mainstream homosexuality. We do all of these other perverse things.
Right.
Right, in rebellion to God, and we wonder why there's increased bloodshed in our country, and tumult and commotion, and the fact of the matter is that until those spiritual, those core moral and spiritual issues are dealt with,
until they're addressed,
nothing will change.
No,
it will only get worse.
And it doesn't even matter if the economy gets better. That's not going to help our children and our grandchildren.
Well, it was great under Bush, wasn't it? Relatively speaking, were things better? No, Planned Parenthood was funded at a greater rate under Bush than it was under Clinton.
New England is an especially godless chunk of our country.
California, Northeast. New England, leading the way.
Right.
And Colorado, close
New England,
behind.
New England, I
sadly.
Think, it, to me, it seems even worse. I grew up in northern New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I remember that from my history, we homeschool our kids. That Massachusetts, I think they did something evil until 1833 with the support of the church.
Yes.
And it was they supported the church. They used their general fund of Massachusetts to pay the salaries of the ministers. I think they were Congregationalists.
Yes.
They paid their salaries, which is utterly immoral for the government. The government shouldn't be paying my salary. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You don't take people's money by force, if it's taxes, and use it to fund a church or a denomination. You don't do that. Should the government be hostile to Christianity? No. The government should be humble before Jesus Christ and urge people to honor him. But should the government fund my church? No. If it does, my church won't get better. My church will get worse. And the government will begin to gut the biblical foundation of my church when it has its teeth in our budget. And that's what happened in Massachusetts. The church became rotten to the core.
That's right. And either the government will be God or God will be God. And that's the choice that's in front of us right now.
So Obama's a problem, but he's not our main problem.
I roll radio.
That's right. The main problem is
it's Christians.
The Christian leaders.
Christian leaders. Take a stand.
Who dress up.
Walk in faith.
They dress up the wolf in sheep's clothing. God bless you.